You're listening to Valley Public Radio. The Fresno Philharmonic welcomes its fifth candidate for the vacant position of music director and conductor to the community this week with Ray Hotoda, who leads the orchestra in a concert Sunday at the Soroyan Theater featuring Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5, Tchaikovsky's Symphony No. 5, and a contemporary piece by Pulitzer Prize-winning Chinese-American composer Zhu Long. Ray Hotoda is currently the associate conductor of the Utah Symphony. She has a doctorate in piano performance from USC and studied at both Peabody and Eastman. She joins us now, Valley Public Radio. Ray, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Conductors face a really unique job interview process. It's very public, very extensive, very dissimilar from what most of us in the corporate world or any other sort of world face. What's the most challenging part of doing something like this? Because you're doing, you have a number of these on your schedule right now, from San Luis Obispo to Canada.
That's right. And, you know, it's not really a challenge for me. I find it invigorating. I love going to all these different cities, meeting all these wonderful people in the community, and just really working with the orchestras. It's really fun for me. I find it as an exploratory way of getting to know these different great organizations, arts organizations.
Let's learn a little more about you. You were born in Japan but grew up in Chicago. Musical family? Was this a path that you were encouraged to pursue or discouraged to pursue?
Absolutely. I had a tiger mom.
Okay.
And she was a voice major in college, an education major, and she taught me piano at the age of 3. I grew up in a very artistic household. My father was a visual artist. And so I thought this was normal to have my, you know, family be in the arts. My father would be sculpting in the basement while playing classical symphonic music all day long. And my mother would be teaching piano in the other room. So I thought, wow, everyone's lives are like this. And so I feel really blessed.
When did the conductor bug bite you? How did you manage to get on that path versus performance?
Well, it's interesting because my brother, when I was 3 years old, he would be conducting in front of the mirror while my father was playing all this great symphonic repertoire, Beethoven symphonies and Schubert symphonies. And I thought, what is he doing there? You know, and it wasn't really until much, much later when I was getting my doctorate at USC in California, in Southern California, I got the conducting bug. And I thought, this is incredible. And I felt like I had to pursue it and explore the different possibilities of being a conductor. And I have to say, it was like learning a new instrument for me. It was a very humbling experience. And I've been doing it about 10 years now. And I still feel like I'm learning each and every day.
I think a lot of listeners can relate to learning an instrument. They had an instrument in high school or something, or maybe they even took private lessons. We know how that process works, even if it's at a very basic level compared to the advanced professional musician. But how does one learn to be a conductor? Because you just don't get up in front of an orchestra every day for 6 hours a day.
Exactly. And to pay 60 musicians to practice 3 hours every day is impossible. So you learn by experience. And the more you're on the podium, the better you get. Of course, it helps to have had a foundation. And I felt like I was such an accomplished pianist that I was, you know, I felt like I'm really strong musician. And I had great, you know, training and so many wonderful experiences as a solo pianist, chamber music, all that wonderful repertoire that I really mastered. And all of a sudden I'm standing in front of this orchestra and I'm moving my arms and they're not following me, you know? And so a lot of it was instinctive musical background that I've had to really explore that. But other parts were, you know, really learning the mechanics of conducting physically, but also studying. And I thought, you know, as a doctoral student in piano performance, I chose conducting over musicology because I thought, you know, the last thing I want to be doing is sitting in the library studying. Well, little did I know that orchestral conducting is much of it is studying and it's much of its preparation. And so that's how you learn, is how well prepared you are on your own, and then to step in front of on the podium and to have this incredible privilege of being in front of these fine musicians and saying, this is how we should do Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony. This is my interpretation of what he was trying to get at. What's in the music? Let's explore that together.
How has your approach evolved over time? Let's take something like Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony. Is that something that you the first time you perform it, you go at it this way, and then the next time, yeah, maybe I'll try this differently? Or do you exchange ideas with other conductors or the principal soloists?
Well, you seem to know a lot about this process because it's exactly what happens. I mean, the first time is always this wonderful experience of just getting through the piece and really knowing it one way. And then every time I look at it, every time I look at the score and explore some more aspects of it, there's always something to be discovered. And as a musician, that's what I aim for, is to continually learn from my past and from what I can bring to the future in future performances. And my husband happens to be a conductor as well.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So is there a bit of talking shop, exchanging ideas?
All the time. And in fact, Zhu Long, who's the composer of this fantastic work, The Rime of Taigu, that I'll be conducting on Sunday, his wife is also a famous composer, so Chen Yi. And this piece actually is dedicated to her for her 50th birthday. So I find that, you know, living with another conductor is a plus, actually. And we always exchange ideas. And I'm always asking him, you know, should I take more time here? Should I not do the ritardando as much as I did last time? And he'll have opinions about it. And I might disagree, you know. But we're always exchanging ideas, repertoire ideas, programming ideas, and things like that.
Ray Hotoda is with us today on Valley Edition. She's leading the Fresno Philharmonic in a concert as guest conductor this Sunday at the Sorian Theater. We mentioned Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony. Also on the bill is Beethoven's Emperor Piano Concerto, one of his most famous works. The fact that you have a background in piano performance, does that inform your approach to this piece?
Absolutely.
In a different way? And in what way?
Well, I've actually performed this piece, and my husband conducted it. And to really get your hands dirty, so to speak, with this concerto is a massive work. Technically, it's very demanding, and it's just a brilliant piece. And to have that personal direct connection to the piece, knowing how hard those octaves are, knowing how hard those thirds are in the end of the first movement, it's not that I'm empathetic or sympathetic to the soloist, but I understand what he's going through when we're doing pizzicato in the orchestra and he's going through all this, you know, technical difficulties and mastering them. And sometimes I have to, you know, watch myself that I'm not in awe of the pianist and knowing what he's, you know, how he's actually physically playing right now and, you know, make sure that I'm bringing the orchestra in. Because it's one of these pieces, I think it's so innovative in that it's a symphonic concerto. It's really like Beethoven uses all the, octaves on the keyboard, uses all the technical possibilities on the keyboard, and yet the orchestra is full and sonorous, and so it's just a really powerful, powerful piece.
There are many very accomplished women in your field today, Marin Alsop, Joanne Faletta, but men still dominate many of the conductor positions in orchestras across the country. What advice would you give a young woman who would tell you, I want to do what you're doing right now. I want to be up on the podium in front of an orchestra. Based on what you've experienced, what would you tell her?
If it were a boy or a girl, you know, it doesn't even matter. I mean, music goes beyond race, gender, ethnicity. I mean, sexual orientation. It's just, you know, you have to love it. You have to love it, and you have to really dream big and have a passion for it. If you have that, you can accomplish anything. And I feel that, you know, a lot of, after my concerts, youth concerts that I've conducted youth orchestras, a lot of the young women come up to me and say, "You're just fabulous. I just love seeing you on the podium. You're just so inspiring." And I hope, you know, that little seed gives them the courage to either become a fabulous instrumentalist or a fabulous artist or a great dentist. You know, I mean, you know, I just want to instill that passion. So it really, for me, it's not about gender equality or anything like that. It's you know, it's really about pursuing your dream.
You were assistant conductor in Dallas for a few years, now associate conductor in Salt Lake City. What's that job like? Tell us about that, working with an orchestra, working with another conductor when it's quote-unquote, their orchestra. Tell me about that.
It's a fine line because you're part of the orchestra, but you're also leading the orchestra. And you're not a music director, so you have very little leeway. You have one rehearsal, generally, to really make your mark and get through the repertoire. It's exciting, but, you know, nerve-wracking at the same time. You learn so much. And in the assistant positions that I've had, that's all it is for me, is I want to learn as much as possible in a short amount of time as possible and get as much from the music director as I can, whether it's musically or how he directs and how he leads an orchestra. I try and just soak in as much as possible. And, you know, working with these incredible, this high level of players, it's just been such an honor and a privilege for me. And I've just loved every minute of it.
Just about every classical music organization in the country is searching for a way to reach out to new audiences, younger audiences, more diverse audiences. There are a lot of different ideas out there. What do you think works and what do you think doesn't work? How would you approach that?
Well, you brought up a word that's very important as far as building an audience, and that's diversity. And I think that, you know, it's not just the young people that we want to bring into the halls, but, you know, we want to make sure that our patrons are diverse in so many ways. You know, let's bring in the community so it's not just, oh, well, we're just reaching out to the older folks or we're just reaching out to this generation, but let's make music more inclusive. You know, let's make it exciting so that either by programming or by a different playing in different venues or different ways to reach out into the community and say, music is everywhere. Music is important. It's as important as breathing. You know, you think, well, how can music be that important? Well, you think about all kinds of music. Rock music from the 70s are different from the 2015, you know, the pop music. And if you were around in 1999, Prince, you know, that song was so important. So you think of, you know, nostalgically, you think of music in different ways. But, you know, and classical music is the same way. It's just a different way of looking and hearing and experiencing the music. Music in a concert hall is so different from music listening to the radio. Live performances, you know, there's something magical that happens between the audience and the orchestra on stage. It's not just, you know, we're here to listen to music. It's we want you to be a part of the music. We want you to feel and be really moved by the music. It's a community effort. You know, it's like when you go to an art museum and you see the same painting in a book. It's different from going to an art museum with other people and being shocked by this painting, you know, other people's reactions to that painting at the same time. And you think, is that what I think it is? No, it can't be. And then you see other people's reactions towards that. So it's this kind of communal energy that happens as opposed to looking at a painting in a book. Oh, that's nice, you know, or listening to a Beethoven symphony on the radio. Oh, that's nice. But, you know, when you sit down and really feel the power of the music and see it happening and unfolding in front of you, I think it's a totally different experience.
A lot of people, a lot of younger listeners, a lot of younger audience members, we say listeners here in this radio business, so many of them haven't been in that concert hall. How do you try to lower the barriers to entry, whether those are physical barriers or cultural barriers?
Sure.
How do you do that?
Well, I always try and find something in the music that the audience can hang on to. For instance, a contemporary piece that we're doing, the first piece on the program, The Rime of Taigu. How can anyone relate to Zhu Long? Well, he thinks of himself not as an American composer, but not as a Chinese composer. He's really bringing in the East and merging it with the West. So, you know, he's exploring and saying, look, this is the culture of China or Asia. And in fact, taigu is another word for the taiko drums of Japan. And for me, it's like an immediate visceral response that I get when I hear this music. When I heard it for the first time, I was just starting to conduct. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that's so exciting. There's something so visceral and so emotional about that piece. I don't even have to understand it. I want to conduct it someday, you know? And that's how I want people to feel about this piece, is that they can relate to it because it's, first of all, it's extremely rhythmic. And, you know, he really brings out the spiritual energy of the taiko drumming. And if you've ever seen taiko drumming live, it's visually an incredible experience with these large, extremely large drums and these players in choreography playing and performing this music, which is, you know, you could feel it at the bottom of your core right away. And the piece opens up with the drums, you know, and it's just really exciting. So I try and give something to the audience like, this is percussive music. How can we not feel that? You know, percussion instruments have been around for centuries and centuries and centuries. The taiko drums were used in war, you know, for war cries and to bring in troops. I mean, you know, this is music that anyone can really relate to. But, you know, you see it on the program or you see it on paper and you think, well, who is this person? You know, what is this about? And if you say, well, this is, you know, a merging of cultures, this is an exposure to a culture that you can really relate to just by hearing this percussion instrument at the beginning. And so let us take you on this journey together. And in the middle section, there's this like meditative, you know, singing bowl, a section where people can sit back and relax a little bit, and then it goes back into this kind of extreme intensity with this fantastic ending at the end. So, you know, it's a journey. And so my take is like, here's a few things to hold on to while you're listening to it. Come with us.
All of the candidates for music director with the orchestra were told to program a concert that featured a work from the classical era, a romantic work, and also a contemporary work. Tell me a little more about your philosophy in terms of programming a concert outside of those bounds with free rein. How do you see putting together a concert program?
Well, I always try and look at, what does the audience of this community, what would they really relate to? How can I make Beethoven's symphony relate to them? You know, and so I'm always trying to think of ways to program where I feel that the area that I'm in is being reflected. Whether it's like in Canada and Nova Scotia, I'm doing all Vaughan Williams, you know, so like this English background and having that in place culturally there, I think is really important. So I try and bring repertoire in, mix it with some contemporary music that, you know, maybe we would do a Mexican composer, you know, and really and say, look, there are pieces out there that the audience can relate to, whether it's by culture or by, again, like this rhythmic, you know, pulse that's very visceral and really exciting to a Tchaikovsky symphony like the Fifth Symphony, where I can tell them, look, you know, Tchaikovsky really struggled with his life. During his life, he struggled with his art form, but not just that, he struggled with within himself, you know, overcoming barriers in self-doubt. How many of us have not self-doubted ourselves? You know, throughout high school, I try and understand that, you know, people are continually changing, and there are multi-generations that are going through difficult times personally. Well, Tchaikovsky did too. And in this Fifth Symphony, we go from resignation to triumph to romance and love, you know, all in one symphony, a waltz in the third movement. I mean, you know, happiness, joy, elation, you know, devastation. I mean, those are emotions that can cover a whole wide gamut of generations, and that people, you know, music is emotional, and whether you're in a good mood one day or a terrible mood because you had a terrible day at the office, you know, let us play a Beethoven symphony for you that really explores that too.
How would you say you've changed as a conductor? Yeah, since you started doing this from where you are right now, what's been the biggest change that you've seen in your work, your approach, maybe?
I think that confidence, definitely. And the more you do it, the better you get at it. You know, it's like that the 1,000-hour theory. You know, the more time I'm on the podium, I feel more confident, and I feel that, you know, this shared experience is more and more important, and I feel more and more passionate about it.
We certainly can hear that passion right now, and we will hear it on the stage Sunday at the Soroyan Theater. Ray Hotoda, performing with the Fresno Philharmonic as guest conductor in a concert featuring Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5, Tchaikovsky's Fifth Symphony, and also a contemporary piece by Pulitzer Prize-winning Chinese-American composer Zhu Long. The concert also features pianist Shai Wosner performing the Beethoven Piano Concerto. Ray Hotoda, the fifth of the six candidates for this position with the orchestra. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.